This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
The missiles aimed at Guam. That's where we stand, and that's where we start. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Boy, I'd like to go light, but pretty tough to do that when North Korea hangs in the balance. And did you notice today the markets were affected by it? For many of you who have 401ks or have money invested in the stock market, look out. North Korea could have a flipping effect. So if North Korea fires those missiles towards Guam, they would take, they say, about 14 minutes to actually reach the island, which is very Americanized. Residents would be notified, boom, by all of the hazard alert warning systems. North Korea said on Thursday that they have a detailed plan for missile strike near Guam using four intermediate-range ballistic rockets that could easily hit the island. If sirens go out, they're telling people to pay attention, tune into local media, radio, print, television, you know, the usual suspects. That would be pretty disconcerting, wouldn't it? To be sitting there wondering. There have been lots of threats toward Guam in the past, especially from North Korea, because of all the nuclear missile tests and capabilities that are known. But this seems a little more serious than that. Is really a missile going to land on Guam? Carl Peterson, who serves on the Guam Chamber of Commerce's Armed Forces Committee, says that with the defense capabilities, no missile will land on Guam. That there are mechanisms in place, the ability to seek out the missiles with kinetic energy and then destroy it. Well, thank goodness. Guam is in the spotlight, though, making national headlines because of this back and forth with Kim Jong-un and our president, President Trump, on the tensions and the hot rhetoric have definitely intensified. And as I mentioned, it affected the markets, and I'm not surprised by that because we'll see more of that if this continues. If nothing happens and we just kind of keep on going as normal, I think it's a quick bounce around anyway. But it's certainly not, it's not good with the North Korean threat, which is already affecting tourism in South Korea, because South Korea really actually relies on tourism, and surprisingly, Guam does too, because it's a beautiful island, and they have exchange clubs, Rotary clubs that exchange with other clubs, and people are surprised by that, but it's actually a place that is visited by a lot of Americans, and as I mentioned, is heavily, heavily filled with Americans. So the warning systems are in place, but it is pretty scary to think of the possibility, I suppose. Because nobody wants to really see that. Diplomacy, unless it's out of control, is, of course, the best option here. Because in between, there would be innocent people who would suffer the consequences, and that's never good. Nobody wants to see that. Coming up this hour, we have a great conversation with, I think, one of my favorite doctors I've ever interviewed, who has spent a big chunk of his life in trying to solve a horrific brain cancer problem for younger children, where how do you give them chemo if they're only going to live 5, 6, 7 months, what is the chemo going to do to extend their life? And there's always this big debate, and he's figured something out that was approved by the FDA, and what an interesting story from our pals at Weill Cornell. Can't wait for you to meet him. That's coming up. Of course, we'll go into the mailbag and also speak with a millennial that speaks, on Forbes books at bedtime. I'm just kidding. And all that is coming up this hour of the show. I thought I'd give you the menu this time around. Would you be surprised at the top of this if I told you that this new study came out that people are talking about that found that 1 in 8 Americans struggle with alcohol abuse? That seems like a high number to me. And this was a pretty thorough study. And it was published in JAMA, which is really highly thought of, JAMA Psychiatry. So they track drinking patterns of like 40,000 people between the years of 2002 and 2003, then again 2012-2013, so they get the long-term patterns. And overall, alcohol use disorders rose by 50%, affecting 8.5% of the population during the first research period and 12.7% during the second. That's like 30 million Americans struggling with alcohol abuse. That seems incredibly high. And check this out. Individuals 65 and older saw a staggering 106.7% increase in alcohol disorders. For 45 to 65-year-olds, that increase was also high, 81.5%. I think that's because of jobs, responsibilities, money, health, problems with health, withdrawing from something, you know, all of that I think would go into it. It's chilling, though, because of, you think, high-risk drinking and professionals on the job, and, you know, that gets wrapped up into all of that. The good news is now there's more help than ever, something they didn't necessarily talk about in the study, but now there's ways to go to meetings, there's ways to get other kinds of help so you're not completely out there on an island, and especially if that many people are in the same boat, you certainly are not alone in struggling with alcohol abuse. Speaking of struggling, I'm going to throw to this for a second because, as you all know, if you follow anything I talk about in the world of sports, I'm a big fan of the great game of golf. It's the long walk that is not spoiled. There's a book called The Long Walk Spoiled. John Feinstein wrote it, and he's a great writer, but the title's provocative. But it is not a walk that is spoiled ever for me. Jordan Spieth kind of struggled at the PGA Championship, a 72. That is a little bit of a struggle. And he may be my favorite player at 24. He wins the British Open. You know the story of him. He wins the Masters. Oh, he's so fun. I think he's so fun to watch. Just coming off the British Open, it was just one of those days. What are you going to do? So next day you got to bounce back fast. He has to have a good Friday. And apparently he wasn't the only one who was having trouble. They had new Bermuda grass greens installed. So you think major championship. Just put it this way, if you don't golf, you mess with the grass, it can get pretty tough, especially at a championship. Hang with us.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Ralph, remember when you said you were going to start paying more attention to your health and now you're eating potato chips?
Just a few.
A few, okay, but you should be eating Superberries Aronia Berries.
Aronia what?
Aronia Berries from Superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness. Go to superberries.com/radio. And right now we get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus we can save $4 at checkout.
Wow, look at all the benefits of these berries.
I know, Ralph, I know.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Us here on America Tonight, Dr. Mark Swaydan. He is the Vice Chair for Neurological Surgery and Director of Pediatric Neurological Surgery at the Weill Cornell Medicine Brain and Spine Center. Dr. Swaydan, thanks so much for coming on with us, because what we're talking about sadly has affected two of my friend's children. We're talking about pediatric brain tumors, and you know, one of the things, and you would know the acronym better, but DIPG. First of all, for people listening, tell us about DIPG and the severity of that and what happens to these kids. It's like a serial killer.
Yeah, thanks for the invite, Kate, to begin with. And I'm sorry to hear that friends of yours have been afflicted by this. DIPG, diffuse intrinsic pontine glioma, is one subset of tumors in children that affect the brain, and more precisely what's called the brain stem. The brain stem is the, if you will, the relay center between the brain proper and everything that happens below the neck. It's a very vital area, very tight, compact area, where these tumors that with consistency kill these children with a median survival of just shy of a year.
Wow. And so you just recently presented the results of your phase one clinical trial for the use of a better medication delivery system in these children with what we just talked about, DIPG. So tell us about that.
Yeah, the clinical trial really is a result of a very ambitious effort to improve the outcome for these children. And for decades, and for as long as I've ever known about DIPG or interested in pediatric brain tumors, that the survival curves and expectations were never improved in that 30-40 year interval. So we embarked on a very adventurous way to be more effective in getting chemotherapeutic agents into the area of interest, namely the brainstem. And it's very well known that when you administer chemotherapy by an oral or intravenous route, that a very, very small fraction of that drug gets into the brain and hence the brain tumors. So the normal routes of administration are extremely ineffectual and inefficient for getting drug concentrations where we want them in the brain of these children. So this design is based on a simplistic idea, and that is directly administer the chemotherapy into the tumor, right? Sounds very logical and simplistic. And why shouldn't we be doing it? Why shouldn't we be doing it? It's because it is a surgical intervention. And you're also embarking on one of the most vital functions or structures of the brain, namely the brain stem. So it's illogical to think that you can place a catheter in the brain stem and infuse volumes of fluid that would be containing the chemotherapeutic agent. So that's what we set out to do. That was the first 15 plus years of my career. And as you mentioned, we reported on our phase one, or what you'd call toxicity seeking, clinical trial at the American Society of Clinical Oncology this past spring. And delightfully, we saw that we could do this in children safely with a very, very good efficiency, that we could get thousand-fold higher concentrations of drug in the area of interest safely without affecting anything in the rest of the body. So the foundation was validated without question.
Wow, that's incredible, because, and to really drive this home, as you said, so much of your life has been spent doing this, and we talk about the brainstem, and again, to put it in perspective for people listening, it's just very difficult to get to that area, isn't it, without doing any other kind of damage.
Yeah, there are tumors and lesions within the brainstem that neurosurgeons consistently will go after and remove very effectively. Benign tumors, well-circumscribed lesions, but those differ in that they are focal. Those differ in that they reach the surface of the brainstem. It affords us a route in, and there's a very clean line of demarcation that we can carefully identify at the time of surgery. These tumors, DIPG, and other infiltrative gliomas, have that word assigned to them, infiltrative, meaning that they entwine themselves within the normal cellular structure of all the pathways and complex nuclei in the brainstem that make it an impossibility to remove these. And even if one can go in and take out the majority of these tumors, we know that the invasive front has escaped surgical treatment and will recur in those margins. So a much different growth pattern than other lesions that we will willfully go after in the brainstem.
We're speaking with Dr. Mark Sway-Dan from Cornell Weill. And so in talking about this, I mean, this has got to be amazing, the amount that you're able to measure here, the amount of kind of like a treasure trove of information that you're finding out. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, what it's done is opened up a huge door of potential. And yeah, whether we have everything right with the phase one study is left unsaid until we start looking more diligently at optimal dose and then challenging ourselves to see if we can do better than historical controls. But at this point in time, the exciting component of this is now we've shown we can do this. So this opens up a huge potential with regard to agents that have been left by the wayside because they cause systemic toxicity. Agents that are very promising in the laboratory, but we know they don't cross what's called the blood-brain barrier. So now there's great potential for introducing either old agents or innovative agents. Now there's the potential of integrating agents that were prohibitive from the standpoint of systemic toxicity. So there's a whole wide spectrum of agents that can now be either re-explored or introduced into a tumor that has escaped any element of therapeutic benefit from therapy. So that alone is a huge jump forward in this. And then the other really has to do with the quieting of any cynicism that would be applied to this because it's dangerous. Right, so it's logical to think that you're going to put a catheter in the brainstem and infuse all this fluid and you're going to hurt children. And that doesn't make sense for a child that only has 5, 6, 7 months left of life. Why would you do this? But now that we can do this, and we've done this very safely to the point that we're sending these kids home the following day, and it's been remarkable from the standpoint of the safety element and the drug delivery element. So great capacity here now to interface with industry, with pharmaceutical companies, with investigators across the globe to try and now optimize this.
Yeah, and in optimizing it, one of the things would be, I would assume, right, testing different drugs and combinations?
Yeah, without question. I wish I had 10 lifetimes and 10 more people in my laboratory doing this. You know, every one of these, and it's challenging, right? I mean, to drive a clinical trial like this, which took us 4 years to complete, and I will say, you know, 15-plus years to lay the groundwork for, with a price tag of foundation money, and we've had very generous individuals and foundations rise to the occasion, you know, just shy of $2 million to drive this trial. Now, think about the multitude of agents that are out there that we'd love to experiment with. And you can do a lot of work in the laboratory to screen. But every time you embark on bringing this into a clinical front, you're dealing with that degree of effort. So it becomes very problematic. At the same time, one needs to be extremely disciplined in their selection of how to design a trial to make sure you're going to get the most information out of that clinical trial and that investment of time and effort and money.
Yeah, what does that mean for your team when you're talking about the other people involved in this? You all had to be thrilled when you knew that you had some success with this, right?
Yeah, I mean, no more than me, but without question. I can't enough praise assigned to the individuals who have helped with this, and that's industry, institution, and it extends well beyond what I've been doing, and it's really been remarkable. But I will tell you that the shared enthusiasm and the drive comes from the inherent belief that we can do better, that we can cure other cancers in kids of the same age, but because the cancer affects a different organ, we shouldn't be satisfied with that. We should believe in that if we can cure one cancer, there's no reason we can't cure another cancer. But yes, it might involve a different strategy, and it might involve a much different technology. But the drive to do that is because of the belief that, one, we can do it and have done it, and two is to watch the grief and the suffering of these parents is an amazingly powerful motivation to do better. And for anyone who associates, and you mentioned you have friends with children who have been afflicted, if you listen and watch and understand what they go through, there's no greater motivation to do a better job and to improve the outcome for these kids.
Congratulations, Doctor, on the work that you're doing there, and to hear your passion is just absolutely phenomenal, wonderful. As you said, 15 years of work, the 4 years to complete, I can only imagine what a giant, giant effort. Dr. Mark Swaydan from Cornell Weill, thank you so much.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, but we're not finished. Until we consistently cure these children, then you can congratulate me, and I'll certainly accept that congratulations. I appreciate the time this morning.
I love it, Doc. Thank you so much.
Thank you as well.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
If food became scarce, would you be able to feed yourself and your family? Have you found some emergency food supplies can cost upwards of $300 for a month's supply, and worst of all, they're packed with chemicals and other unpronounceable ingredients? At 30dayfood.com, our mission is to provide you with food that's not only healthy and natural, but also affordable. At 30dayfood.com, for only $127, you can order meals that are naturally high in fiber, carbs, and protein, packaged in Mylar bags with oxygen absorbers for a superior shelf life. For a limited time only, your order ships free, but that's not all. Enter promo code PREP10 to receive 10% off your entire order. Call 800-700-2184 today. 30dayfood.com keeps prices low by buying directly from suppliers in the Pacific Northwest, then passing the savings along to you. Go to 30dayfood.com or call 800-700-2184 for the most cost-effective and healthy food storage solution. That's 30dayfood.com at 800-700-2184.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Idling in our virtual green room, Pavlina Asta is with us, and I'm so excited, Greg, to talk to Pavlina, because she's got her finger on the pulse of, yes, millennials, and apparently millennials know how to be happy. Maybe they're happier than you or I, because you and I are not millennials.
Are you calling me old?
Well, you're older than me, but
I guess you're calling me old. I'm not a millennial either. So, Pavlina, what do you and your fellow millennials know about happiness that you can teach us older folks?
Yeah, so first of all, since I'm 19, I'm technically a Generation Z. Now, there's a lot of studies coming out about millennials and Generation Zs and how they're, working and what they're doing, to kind of find happiness and everything. And one of these studies that I thought was really interesting is Generation Zs, whereas millennials, are different in this way, are buying luxury brands, and that is like how they're fueling their happiness, so they're kind of, that's just sort of what they're doing, I guess, right now.
They are successfully buying happiness by buying luxury brands.
Yeah, exactly. They think they're trying to buy their happiness. So.
And how's that working out?
Oh, it seems to be working. I don't think long term it's gonna keep working, but definitely, right now it seems to be working for them.
And when you say luxury brands, are we talking clothes, cars, phones?
Yeah, it's like anything from purses, Kate Spade, Alice and Olivia, what else is there? Any of those like big luxury brands. And it's actually really funny, because I was just moving, and I live in New York City, and I was at like Marshall's or TJ Maxx or whatever. And I would love to see like how they're doing in comparison to other stores, because, you know, millennials and Generation Z's obviously don't have any money or anything, you know what I mean? They don't have like big money, but they still want these luxury brands. So I would love to see the comparison between, you know, like a Louis Vuitton store or something compared to like a Marshall's where they can get, you know what I mean? Like, I would love to see the comparison to that, because there's some other studies, like I was talking about before, that have come out where millennials have actually been killing off a lot of industries. So, you know, if they're not buying certain things, like, I would love to see the comparison between the two.
Well, I mean, one of the advantages that your generation has is that you are digital natives, you're highly tech savvy, and so you also probably understand, unlike older generations, that I don't have to go to the source where I'll pay more, the Louis Vuitton store. I can either wait or use the tools at my disposal, called a smartphone, to find exactly what I want at a much better price. And is that part of what you're seeing here, is that your generation are great bargain shoppers?
Yeah, exactly, which is kind of why, you know, it's, what's really interesting, this is kind of like a side note, even Walmarts are dying off now, and because people are going to Amazon and finding those special prices, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I just thought that was fascinating. I was like, you can't kill off Walmart. What is happening? It's Walmart. But, yeah, a lot of these, like, bigger industries or these bigger brands are dying off because people are either, A, they're not going into the stores anymore. They're just buying everything online or digitally, and A, they want them for a cheaper price, but they still want the luxury brands or the higher quality things.
Do you think that earning money rank higher to millennials, to your generation, than having personal time, or no?
So what?
Which is more important, earning money or having more personal time?
Oh gosh, I would probably have to say, like, just kind of based on, you know, from what I've observed and like what I've read through all the studies and everything, I would definitely say that they would rather like earn more money. They'd rather earn more money and then they could like spend it. You know what I mean? Like, they would just like want to spend it, doing more things. They can go on more, more vacations. So they can post on their social sites.
So it's, it's experiences. Millennials are famous for not wanting a bunch of stuff that other generations want, like we were just talking about, cars, houses, that kind of stuff. You're more interested in experience instead. Why is that?
I think, I think a lot of it is for appearance, which kind of, it totally ties back into wanting to have all those luxury brands. You know what I mean? So if you have all these experiences of, like, traveling around the world or doing cool things, it just, like, it's all about the appearance. You know what I mean? So when you're posting on your social sites and everything and someone is, like, Instagram stalking you, they're like, oh, my gosh, this person's traveled everywhere. Oh, they've done so many cool things. And it's just all a part of that, like, that appearance that they're giving off into the world, you know. But, oh, they also still have these nice, this nice handbag. Oh, she just got this. It's so cool. So I think millennials and Generation Z are extremely appearance-based, if that makes sense.
We're talking with Pavlina Osta. No, I'm going to say that again. We're talking with Pavlina Osta. It rhymes like pasta. Rhymes with pasta. And her website is pavlinaosta.com, PavlinaOsta.com. And Pavlina, you're really a unique spokesperson in a way for these two generations, millennials and your generation as well, because you really discovered media, which is at the core of almost everything we're talking about. You really discovered it at a really early age. Tell us what you started doing in the world of media when you were as young as 11.
Yeah, so I'm kind of frazzled right now. I live in New York, and I've been running back and forth between subways and stuff before this interview. I started in radio when I was 11, and I was in Florida, and I would do on-location interviews with celebrities, and it just kind of became like my little like hook or my niche or something, where I'd go around. You know, I started just in Florida, so I would go all throughout Florida, and then I started going to Nashville and LA for red carpets, and then I'd go to New York every summer. And I started doing all these celebrity interviews, and it just kind of took off, and my show got nationally syndicated, so I've been doing this for a while.
Well, and it's interesting because we've been talking about how important the experience economy is to these two generations, the millennials, and then you're a member, you said, of a Generation Z, correct?
Yes.
Your experience of being on the radio as a young girl and now as an adult, your experience of interviewing celebrities, these are, in your generation's world, these are actually marketable, leverageable experiences in your life, and you're using them to continue to build your career. Most people don't have that kind of experience. Maybe they didn't start as young as you, but what advice do you have for others, whether they be millennials or not, about how to build a world of experiences around you so that, A, you have a great life to talk about at a party, and B, that might actually be good for your career?
Yeah, well, I think my thing is I've never said, like, no to anything. You know, anytime I'm given an opportunity or something, you know, I've always been like, yeah, I can do that. I can make it work. And I think that's just, like, so important. I think a lot of people are sometimes scared to get into something, or they're like, oh, I don't think that's very cool or whatever. Like, I can't even tell you how many times I was told how not cool it is to have a radio show at 11. They were like, what are you doing? And I was like, I don't know. But I think if you just kind of you shut out the haters and you just kind of do what you what you want to do, that's really important. And, you know, finding your passion early. Like, I was put into radio because I was playing my steel drums, and I was getting interviews by local radio stations, and this one radio manager was like, oh, you should start having your own show. And I was like, okay, there's an idea. So that's just how I got started. And I just kind of fell in love with it. I got bit by the radio bug, as a lot of people say. And I don't know, I think when you can find that passion, like, once, and, like, you have to think beyond, you know, just like the next year or something. Like, think the next 5 years, the next 10 years, like, what do you want to be doing? I've always been a very much of, like, a thinking ahead kind of person. I think a lot of people should, you know, consider that.
Well, it's interesting to hear you talk about thinking ahead, because one of my questions for you, and this goes back to the whole idea of particularly with your generation, the Generation Z and millennials, so much of your world, I'm speaking generally of those two generations, exists in your phone. So it makes Amazon a natural way to shop, for instance. But when I'm wondering if you, and I'm asking you as a spokesperson for those generations, which is unfair of me to put that burden on you, but I will anyway, you know, when you think ahead, if your generation spends more and more money with Amazon and other online platforms, and at the same time, statistically, we know that these two generations increasingly want to live downtown in urban settings, what happens when all the stores and all the retail downtown are closed because all the retail dollars got spent on a phone with a company that's thousands of miles away? How do you see that set of issues resolving itself for your generation?
Right, and I'm definitely one of those people, like, of course, I understand millennials and Generation Z's so well, but I also, like, totally should have been born in, like, a completely different decade or something, because I feel like millennials and Generation Z's are extremely, like, in-the-moment kind of people, you know what I mean? We want that Snapchat that is, you know, 10 seconds, like, oh, what's happening right now? Like, that's what's happening. We want the Facebook Lives to document what's happening right now. We have Instagram stories, what's happening right now. We're posting every single day because it's what happened that day. They're very, like, in-the-moment kind of people, whereas I'm more of, like, what's today? I don't even know what today is. Like, what's happening tomorrow? As far as them financially, it's kind of scary, actually, just because, you know, they're spending so much money, and I'm at fault for this as well, for, you know, buying coffee every day, having to get that avocado toast. It definitely racks up, and I know a lot of millennials aren't even buying houses right now, so it's definitely going to be interesting, I guess, to say the least, with how, you know, all these, like, there have been over 80 Macy's retailers, you know, that have gone out of business because everyone's buying stuff on Amazon now. You know what I mean? So, like, we're not going to have all these retail stores, or we're not going to have nearly as many coming up. And then even buying houses are being different because people can't afford them, and then they're in college debt. So millennials are just all kinds of financially interesting.
So let's go buy a purse.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
On that note, we got to wrap up. Pavlina Osta, thank you so much. You can check her out at pavlinaosta.com. We appreciate you. Thanks.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good and you need to try it. Contact your Longevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Back here as we kind of round the final bend, as it were, as I'm always saying here in America tonight for this hour anyway. The mailbag is absolutely full. This one is from Greg, and Greg said, Kate, I heard you talk about that Taylor Swift deal. What a terrible thing to go through, because, of course, some scumbag grabs her and... probably she was in shock, and it doesn't matter how much money or fame or whatever you have. Nobody wants the inappropriate grope. And it's interesting because I think you talked about this, but if you didn't, there's a whole lawsuit that the DJ is seeking $3 million in damages because he was fired. So that's sort of what caused this whole thing. And you mentioned it. She didn't want to deal with this. She didn't want this to be something that stuck to her and was part of her life. So instead, it's become something that now is a big deal. And it's because of this DJ. Yeah. You know, it's just too sad, isn't it? Right. And it's who knows what the jury decides in this. You know, supposedly, again, he assaulted her, you know, groped her, and then this civil lawsuit is on her allegations that he inappropriately touched her during this June 13th meet and greet at Denver, at the Denver Pepsi Center, and then he was fired. The morning show host was fired a couple days after that incident. And so then he sued her 2 years ago and her mother and a radio promotions director claiming that the allegations were false and that they pressured the station to fire him. He lost his job because of the false accusations. So she would have been like 23 when this thing happened. And yeah, he said he wants to clear his name, and it's going to be interesting to see what the jury comes up with here, because it's really he said, she said kind of thing. All right, let's move to another one. This one is from Mac. Hey, Kate, listening to you in Sarasota, as a lot of people tell you, and I'm another one of those fans from Sarasota. I know you spent some time in Florida. Did you see the story about the hidden treasure, the time capsule that was found in Orlando? I did. I just saw briefly the details about that, that there was this time capsule inside the base of a Confederate statue that was in this park for 100 years. And how cool is that? Think about that. This 300-pound statue, and someone put that box in there, and, you know, this 3-pound metal box. And can you imagine being the person that got to open that? I mean, that is so cool. A Confederate flag, there was money, the roster of this Florida Division of United Daughters of the Confederacy, a book of the minutes from the group's convention that was held in 1910, three local newspapers, two lapel pins. I just think that is so, I don't know, it's just so cool. I love it when people leave. So it makes you think about, this sounds weird, but it makes you think, because that's history, it makes you think about time capsules and leaving things in capsules. And when I was a kid, I know we did that. I don't know if you've ever been a part of that. We did that in, I think I was in fifth grade, and we put things from the time in the time capsule. And how cool that somebody in the future could dig that up. And I don't know if anything we put in was incredibly interesting like these women had in there, but I don't know. What a great idea, right? What a great idea to bury more time capsules. You know, absolutely. All right, how about this one? This one is from Walt. Kate, we listen to you here in KC. There's a big story going on. You've talked about minimum wage in states before. And in KC, we voted to approve a minimum wage increase, a $10 minimum wage, but a state law is saying no way, and people are furious about it. What do you think? Well, the ballot was exactly raising minimum wage from $7.70 to $10 an hour, and then would put in these other increases eventually. But this state law happens at the end of August, overrides apparently city laws and caps minimum wages at $7.70. So the increase would have kicked in on the 24th, but now they're in this quandary because of the move. So like in 2015, St. Louis voters approved raising the minimum wage to $10 an hour and then to $11 in 2018, but the state law will take it back to $7.70 this month. It's interesting because in St. Louis, the city defended the minimum wage hike before the Missouri Supreme Court, but the Missouri General Assembly overrode the court by passing that statewide restriction. So the statewide restriction took hold there. And that's the problem. So that's not going to happen for KC either. It had to be a blow to all those people who work so hard on that. And it goes to the argument of raising the minimum wage and what that does to the businesses. And then other businesses who are supporting it or other people who are supporting it. But doesn't work there. That's the bottom line. It's because it trumps it. So if they're gonna fight it, they're gonna have to try to duke it out in court. But right now, the way it stands, they wouldn't win that because of that law, and that's why. Because the city approves it, but hey, the state blocked it. And there's going to be people that don't understand that. Definitely. That are going to be like, well, wait a second, why do we even have this? It doesn't, that doesn't, you know, make any sense. Okay, let's, and I certainly can't in 5 minutes make sense of it either. Let's move on to something else. And this one is from Jane, who says, Kate, you've talked about technology and how do you measure and how do you monetize, and you probably saw this, that and you know this, that Facebook has pretty strict rules about advertisements that it allows and where it points to, but there are a lot of people, and I just saw a story on this, who break the rules, and it's with this practice, I don't know if you're familiar with it, called cloaking, where they direct Facebook's algorithms and reviewers to a legitimate landing page while sending unsuspecting users somewhere else entirely. Yeah, the cloaking thing, like it could be supplements, it could be something else, and that's exactly what it does. But Facebook, and this is probably the reason why you brought this up to me, that they're trying to, they announced that they're trying to crack down on what they call bad actors by identifying them and banning them from the service, and then they say they've caught thousands of advertisers breaking the rules. And they say, I mean, of course, it's been a big problem with other sites and social media for a while now, and cloaking is done by lots of spammers, spam advertisers on Google and Microsoft, etc. And so I think there is a move to try to collaborate and figure out how to shut that down. And Facebook is trying to clean up content and ads in the news feed anyway, you know, because there was all that outrage over fake news stories that went viral during the presidential election. And as a user, it would be like a minor change, and you probably wouldn't even notice it because you wouldn't understand it. It just wouldn't make sense, but it would be happening for sure. Then there's this one. This one is from Al, who says, Kate, I heard you talking about Scaramucci and the fact that he's going to appear on a couple of shows, especially Stephen Colbert. Colbert making that big announcement and telling the censors to get ready. Yeah, it's there's a couple of interviews he's doing. His first televised sit-down since he was booted from the president's staff in those 10 days. He's going to be interviewed by George Stephanopoulos on ABC's This Week on Sunday, but then he's on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert on Monday. So I'll be curious what he says. Hopefully he has a good sense of humor, because they're certainly going to, certainly with Colbert, they'll beep him and play that whole thing up, I would think. You know, they're obviously different from probably Stephanopoulos' deal. I am curious to hear what he says. Thanks so much to everybody who threw in on the mailbag, and thanks to all of you for listening to this version of America Tonight.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.